I get so bored sometimes, I think I will do anything to stop it. I decide to make Graham dinner. He blames me for what happened. We don't have anything in the kitchen except Moët. Dozens and dozens of bottles that Graham's mother, Margot, keeps giving us, daring us to celebrate. I decide to make spaghetti because it's European, and I think I can manage it on my own. The housekeeper got spooked and left, so we've been ordering in. I need to hire someone before Margot does, but I like how our house looks with a little dust. It looks like people actually live here. I go to my closet to choose an outfit for the market. Everything in my closet is shades of gray. I've always wanted a signature color. Margot's is white. Graham's is blue. He says it's a power color. All of my underwear is blue. I select a gray cashmere top and gray cashmere bottoms. Not the same shade of gray because I don't want to look like an insane person. I accessorize with the exact right amount of diamonds and the hot pink Gator Kelly bag I won in a game with Margot. I stop to check my reflection in the full-length mirror. Sometimes I am scared by how beautiful I am. Every inch of me is buffed and primed. My face hangs exactly right. My muscles are taut and organized. I am scared because I don't want to lose it. The shaped nails, the tip of my nose, the sapphire glow of my eyes. I am sad because I want everyone to see it, but I don't want to see them. I want them to know how lucky I am, but I don't want them to have access to me. It's a real problem. I pass through the living room on my way out. It's Monday, and light is streaming through the wall of windows onto the travertine dining table, the gold bar chairs, the carved silver accents. The house is decorated to Graham's taste because I don't have any. I acquired his taste the day we got married. It was easier that way. Marriages fail because people are different. I want to be the same, look the same, feel the same, have the same appetites. I want to cross the stars for us. I pass through the courtyard on my way toward the gate. The flowers stink. The fountain gurgles uselessly, like a body choking on its own blood. Our house looks like a handful of glass tumbling down a hill. Our front facade is modern, stoic, but when you step inside, the house stretches, open plan, back and back forever until it reaches a wall of windows. What you can't see from inside is the structures, the plinths underneath that hold it up, allow for the illusion of those never-ending floors. In the hills, people will build anywhere. The more perilous the precipice, the more insecure the foundation, the more they need to build something on it. It's a challenge, a victory of money over matter. Our house is built on the edge of a cliff. And underneath it, between those concrete plinths, is a hidden guest house. It was built to hold up the house above. Margot once used it to store her exotic shoe collection, but now we use it to store a person. I exit the gate and lock the door behind me. I can see Margot's tower above, chiseled to a point. Margot's house is like a castle with all the requisite wars and rumors of wars. Graham says one day we'll live there when he inherits everything, but I have no doubt that Margot will live forever to spite me. I sometimes wish we would move somewhere, start our own life with our own money. But there is a little known fact about people with money. They are beholden to people with more money. So although Graham could afford his own house and his own life, his mother has more money. His mother has money that makes our money look poor. When you're rich, you can control everything, except the richer. Graham is afraid of losing his mother's money. Maybe even losing his mother, who knows. So we live in a glass house beneath her fortress, in a tidy alcove in the hills above Los Angeles, the ugliest and most beautiful city in the world, depending on where you're standing.